officially in the shadows of the bright lights of Bakersfield. No Mercy. This Saturday, December 30th, but we have to have one more show, the Go Home Show. Hello, everyone. This is Global Boys. You're locked into Draped in Gold, the best NXT podcast of all time. But as always, not alone, being joined by the award-winning, move-in-shaking, wheel-in-dealing, early morning ring-announcing fella himself, the real Jack Farmer. What's going on, sir?
I always thought I was someone who needed no introduction, but I guess I do.
You got to work your way up to that, man. Jack, who?
Always good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
I know you're a busy man. You got recap wrestling shows all the time, so do it before noon. It means a lot to me. It really does.
Hey, you know, I owe you one, I guess.
We're broadcasting live on that Facebook, that LinkedIn, that YouTube, that Twitch, Trovo, and the artist formerly known as Twitter. Say hello if you're in the chat. Your questions will be answered live on air. And, well, this one here is multi-layered, but the real through line was about your boy Trick Willie. I mean, let's be real. I felt like he became a star out of nowhere, and now this week you can tell something's on the horizon. Let's talk about the first matchup that he was in was against Joe Gacy, but that almost seems like a footnote. Jack, talk to me about Trick Williams' progression here tonight.
It was, as we just talked about the Joe Gacy match, it was a bit of two guys who were both suffering with a lot of loss potentially and losing their friends and kind of being in a tough spot, needing to feel good in the moment. But Trick Williams, a little sharper, a little faster, a little stronger. Got a big time win on its own. If Trick Williams just, you know, he went to the pay window and went home after this, I'd say this is a great night for Trick Williams. Obviously, it was just the beginning.
I mean, let's think about this. I know the CWC is kind of like a fishbowl, like it's a bubble, right? But the whoop that Trick thing, it just elevates the guy. And I will be, again, I know when I take losses, I know when I'm wrong. I said in the show, can you believe the show's been around this long? But a year ago, year and change ago, Trick Williams, I don't get it. Oh, I get it now. This guy's hitting the gym. The crowd loves him. This guy has been totally explosive. He's his own man. And even though I want to talk to you about what Schism is on the skids, it almost feels like it's eclipsed by the supernova, no pun intended, of Trick Willie and what he's doing.
Yeah, Trick Williams is someone who I've believed in for a while, but it's one thing to believe in someone. It's another thing to see them actually do it. And you're right. The guy's been packing on muscle. The guy's been working in the ring. You can see he's definitely a better wrestler than he was a year ago. And yeah. I mean that with all respect to the wrestler he was a year ago, but he is a better wrestler than he was a year ago. He's a bigger wrestler than he was a year ago. And I think more importantly than anything else, he feels confident. He feels like he knows he's ready for the big time. And you can hear that on the microphone when he's having post-match interviews, which are a tough go, Flobo, because you just got your bell rung. You just got beat up. You were just in a fight. So to have someone shove a microphone in your face and still deliver, I think says just what kind of star Trick Williams really is.
Now, I got to hold the loser Trick Williams questions, but before we get into that, Joe Gacy, since losing the Dyad, him and I guess just Ava now, she's no longer Ava Rain, has been trying to find themselves. A couple losses back to back, and I wonder if Schism is even going to exist the way their roots are crumbling, as it were. Is this a temporary hiccup, or is this something that's really critical and dire for them?
Well, I think the answer to that lies in the kind of leader that Joe Gacy really ends up being, right? I mean, a real leader will take a setback and make something out of it. A real leader will find a way to get through the dark times. If he's not a real leader, then maybe Schism is done with. I think that this is really the most important time in Schism's history, because it's one thing to be successful. It's one thing when you got the numbers, but when things are looking bad, that's where we see what kind of group you really are. And we'll see that now with Schism.
Got to get a shout out to Pop Princess in the chat saying, what up? And of course, Wheel 5 Stud Muffin making it live. Thank you so much for your promotion on Instagram. So Trick Williams wins the match and says, I'm going for my own title. But not the NXT championship. He's going for the most hotly contested division of all time, baby. Walking into Shawn Michaels' office to get himself inserted in that number one contender's match. Now, Jack, I know you're a big fan of politicking, but what do you think about this? I mean, he just won his match. He could have gone home, like you said, but just saying I'm going for something extra so close to a premium live event seems kind of extra, as the kids say.
Well, at the risk of sounding cliche, one of the things I love most about pro wrestlers is when they have that ruthless aggression, that desire to just take it and take whatever they can as fast as they can. And this was one of the first times we really saw that from Trick Williams. I think he's always been okay with someone, you know, being friends with somebody or just being there and having a good time. He's a happy to be there kind of guy, as I think you say all the time about.
Yeah.
This was the first time he's like, now, I'm not just happy to be here. I'm not just happy because I got a win. I want more and I'm going to take more. And I think that this was a very pivotal moment in Trick Williams' career.
So, okay, he gets inserted in the match and he goes to Carmelo Hayes. And that's something I really want your opinion on, because we all thought Trick Williams gang was going to be forever. And Carmelo, and I'll get to this whole thing later, but Carmelo's distracted in a way that just seems kind of out of character. I mean, look, I ignore you all the time on my phone when you talk to me, but yeah. Carmelo and boys go way back. To me, I just didn't understand why he couldn't be happy for his boy on a level that Trick was expecting, and that can have ramifications moving forward.
Yeah, miscommunications are one of the biggest problems in human history, right? I mean, so often it's not necessarily what we're saying, it's how we're saying it. I understand Carmelo Hayes being distracted. I understand him having to focus on other things right now. It's easy to see what we see and blame Carmelo Hayes and say, hey, Carmelo, why aren't you supporting your friend? But Carmelo, yeah. He has a big issue. He has a fire-breathing dragon coming after him.
Aww.
He should be focusing on this big match coming up on Saturday. It's still weird not to say Sunday, but
yeah.
He should be focused on this big matchup. He should be focused on Dragunov. And to be fair, I think Trick Williams should understand that as well, that this is really one of Carmelo Hayes' biggest tests he's ever faced. And that is going to take a lot of his attention. I do think that Trick Williams should understand that. Now, of course, it's a miscommunication. Maybe Carmelo Hayes should understand that he needs to stop and explain this a little bit better.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, I get it. Carmelo Hayes is busy.
Well, what was he on his phone doing? That's the question I have. Like, what was he looking at? Was he reading the DocuSign? Because he signed the physical copy. So what was he so distracted with? Like, what was he, you think?
Well, there are certain games on your phone that you get rewards if you sign in every day. And he was reaching the end of that 24-hour time and he was going to miss his daily rewards.
That's what I do for Wish.com. I want to jump ahead a little bit, talking about the fatal four-way now for the number one contendership for Dirty Dominic's, which I think is his official name now. I didn't think it was, but it is.
Ava lost Rain and Dom earned Dirty.
It's like Dirty Dongo is like, hey, what? So now it's a four-way contest. Axiom, which is a guy that I still have stock in, but it's not looking good, took the pinfall loss against Trick Willie, Tyler Bate, and Dragon Lee, who's been an absolute nuisance to Dominic. So I think going into this, I thought Dragon Lee had all the momentum, but I guess momentum, it has to be very close to the match because Trick Williams pretty much steamrolled the field and is now your new number one contender. Can Trick Williams pull this off?
You know, I'm going to say this with all due respect. When you look at the talent in that ring, when you look at how talented Tyler Bate is, and we know how much he's done and what he's accomplished. When you look at Dragon Lee, I think the world found out on Monday what kind of guy that is. And Axiom, of course, with or without the mask, is someone who's done a whole lot. So I mean this with all due respect. I don't know if Trick Williams was talented enough to win this match, but apparently, he doesn't have the talent, but he does have something else. And I don't know if it is a chip on his shoulder that is big enough for him to just push beyond talents. I don't know if it's just a heart of a champion that's big enough for him to get past tough opponents. Yeah. I don't know if his back was just so far against the wall that it drove him to go beyond his limits. But Flobo, at this event, in this four-way matchup, Trick Williams was unstoppable. Trick Williams would not be denied, and Trick Williams can keep this up, then there's absolutely nothing stopping him from becoming the next day champion here. This was one of those things I always say when you watch certain sports, when you get to like playoff football, it's not about how talented teams are. It's who has that magic to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes teams just get a magic and they're unstoppable. Right now, Trick Williams has the magic that is more important than any level of talent.
Yes or no question. You can always disagree, but please don't. Match tonight was the fatal four-way, you think?
Without a doubt. But not even close.
And also, because I'm not sure if we did this on air or offline, you seem to be holding your position on Dragon Lee. Has he won you over so far? Or are you still trying to wait and see on the guy?
I think he's very talented. I think he's someone who, what I love about him is not only is he fast, but he's a beefy dude too. He can hit power bombs and big things. So he's definitely the kind of person, if I was playing 2K, he's the kind of character I'd want to play as, because I could dive off the top rope and then hit a power bomb. So that's how I like to play in 2K. So
no psychology, no psychology at all.
not even an ounce. So
jump to holes. Forget that.
Just finishers, baby. Just
finisher. Jack's hammer. Let's get through.
I like him. I enjoy him. I definitely want to see him find a way to seal the deal on a title, though, at some point.
I feel like I'm dominating this show with Chick Mello Gang. We have to get to the other side of this. The end of the show
was just not to, sorry. Okay. To be fair, the story of the event was Trick Williams.
I mean, he's going to No Mercy, and we're going to have a No Mercy preview in just a couple of moments here. But let's talk about the other side of things. Carmelo Hayes contract signings, and though even though I'm kind of over contract signings, this one here raises more questions. Make me feel a little icky on the inside. I want your opinion on this, Jack, because even though we had the stare down, we had the people signing the piece of paper, we had the table in the ring, I really feel that both these men, Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov, have not been being themselves. I don't understand Carmelo Hayes' wavering confidence. Some weeks he has it, some weeks he don't. I don't understand Ilya Dragunov's need for the title. Sometimes he is respectful. I respect the champion. I'm just taking that championship off of you. Sometimes it comes off as a jerk. It all came at a head here. I never felt that both characters, both men, kind of went all beyond their personality to get a point across than this contract signing here this weekend.
Well, it's because I think these guys are dealing with something that they don't typically have to deal with this time around. They're dealing with something that makes you change your character sometimes, makes you change how you act, makes you change how you respond. And it's something neither of these guys, I think, really ever have to deal with. And I think that's nerves. I think they're nervous. I think they both know that this is going to be not only one of their toughest matches that they're going to have maybe in their career, but I think they know that this means a lot. Of course, the title is on the line. Of course, the championship is on the line, which is what everyone gets into pro wrestling to be the champion. But there's a little bit of legacy on the line here.
A little bit.
Dragunov, if he can't get the win, if he can't put Carmelo Hayes away, then is he really the fire-breathing dragon? Is he really the guy that that can take all the pain and dish out all the pain? Is he everything he really says he is? And if Carmelo Hayes can't put away a guy like Dragunov, can he really say he doesn't miss? Can he really say that he is him if he has someone out there who has his number? This is a legacy-defining match, and I think that that has both of these guys, whether they want to admit it or not, just a little shook.
We'll get into the preview a little later. Carmelo has to win this. He does, because the last thing I want is to him to go full-on Wesley and be like, I missed. I need time to think this over like an anime. I just don't want to see that. Please don't give me that.
Empty in his locker while other people are having conversations.
Oh, my gosh.
Going out into the darkest parking lot.
the darkest. In the NXT one. Play Davenport. No. just makes me feel gross. And speaking of things that make me feel gross, Thea Hale wears leather now in a match against Danny Palmer. I don't get it. I don't get Thea Hale is one of the most dynamic person with Chase U, and now hanging out with JC Jane, she's losing a bit of her identity, losing a bit of her personality, looking like everybody else in that locker room. Thea Hale, what are you doing?
See, Flobo, this is where I get upset at you for trying to use spin and trying to push
your spin. This is not an improvement at all.
Thea Hale literally was dressed like an entire section of the audience every week, and you're saying now she's dressing like everybody else?
Yes, I am.
I didn't see anyone dressed in leather in the audience tonight, but I've seen them wearing, I've seen whole sections wearing Chase U gear like what she used to wear.
She had the authentic one. I have a Mets jersey. It doesn't mean I play. I'm just saying, man. Like, she looks like Cora Jade now, and not in a good way.
I don't want to forget to mention Danny Palmer looked great. I think that she's going to do great in that breakout tournament. Very excited to see more of her. But this is a new and improved Thea Hale. This is a better Thea Hale. Flobo, if this version of Thea Hale face Tiffany Stratton, I think she would have made Tiffany Stratton tap out.
This really?
Is the kind of
wait a minute. She took me to the tap out last time.
That could have won the championship. She's just she's a little more aggressive. She's a little more sure of herself. I think she feels a little more at peace with who she is. I think she knows that she was faking it the whole time as a Chase U person. She's not really this peppy cheerleading type. No, she's more like JC Jane. I think she's more comfortable with who she is now, and now she's better than she's ever been before.
Look, don't disrespect to Danny Palmer, but Danny Palmer hasn't won a match on NXT nor Level Up, so the victory over her doesn't say much about this. What I am saying this is I get it. Chase, you betrayed you at your title shot. A towel was thrown. You have to go find yourself. I get aligning yourself with someone else, but you're coming out here wearing leather gear and a roster where almost everyone does that. The one thing that made you stood out was your energy, was the fact you were feisty, was the fact you were like gnaw at somebody's ankles because you got them upset. That's what we love Thea Hale for. Hanging out with JC Jane is just making her just JC generic. Put to me.
While I appreciate the wordplay, it does not mean that. it does not mean, I mean, right since Thea Hale has joined up with JC Jane, Thea Hale has been undefeated. She's been unbeaten. And you can talk all you want about what you think about Danny Palmer, but Danny Palmer could be the next breakout star in the breakout tournament. She has things lined up. She has things going on. Before this, though, Thea Hale, she was worried about taking classes at an unaccredited school without even a physical location.
Well, it was high accusations. You saying Chase was unaccredited? Excuse me?
I don't believe they are. I mean, I think that I'm surprised that they even have little get-togethers.
Yeah, I feel they're accredited. Why would they be a university if they're not accredited? I mean, that's just university means they have a research component. You know what I'm saying?
I don't believe they're accredited.
Fine. Okay. Even with the win, what's going to be next for the tarot?
What is their tuition, by the way? How much does it cost to be a part of Chase U? And how close is Duke Hudson and how close was Thea Hale to graduating? How many more credits did they need?
College is like sports cars, man. If you have to ask the price, you can't afford to go. That's just the way it is. But I want to see something progress between Thea Hale and Andre Chase. I'm not sure I'm going to be down for this avenue of this whole JC Jane thing. But to be fair to JC Jane, she's doing better than Gigi Dolan because another week has gone by and she's on the ground again, getting attacked in the dark like Batman. Blair Davenport comes out of nowhere to make their eventual matchup a no contest. Now, we know Blair Davenport. She's Davenport. You're a big fan of her, Jack. You know, she's ruthless. She shows how she could be aggressive. And she said she was going to take Gigi Dolan down, and she did. But Gigi Dolan has never really overcome a challenge. I feel like everyone's kind of beat her down and moves on. Why?
I think that maybe Gigi Dolan needs to stop and question who she's throwing challenges out to. I mean, look, I appreciate what she was doing when she attacked Blair Davenport. I appreciate what she had planned there. She was trying to take the fight to Blair Davenport. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to win at someone else's game. This is Blair Davenport's wheelhouse. You can't – if you think – It's like I'm not going to go to Bronco and Lucian and beat them in a game of dice in the streets. That's their game.
But you're the Tacoma Street champion, though. You have a right. You have a claim.
Not in there. I only have power in Tacoma.
No. I'm mortal.
If I'm outside the city streets.
I just wither and die.
But yeah, I mean, Gigi, I get what she's trying to do, and I appreciate the effort, but it's just not a good move. I think Gigi Dolan, every time she tries to do something, it seems like she's trying to beat people at their own game, and that never works. I mean, whether it was JC Jane, she tried to out Toxic Attraction, the Toxic Attraction. Then she sees Blair Davenport, and she's trying to out Backstage Attack, the Backstage Attacker.
Not to mention trying to outbag Kiana James and got bagged and upside the head, but that's besides the point.
It's right. It's well, that's another good example. I think what Gigi Dolan needs to do is focus on her strengths instead of other people's strengths. That's how you get far. I mean, you don't see Roman Reigns trying to show the world that he's a better luchador than Rey Mysterio.
I mean, he kind of is, though. I'm kidding. Don't clip that. Don't get me canceled. Acknowledge me.
So, you know, Roman Reigns sticks to what he's good at. You know, you look at Goldberg, when he was on his undefeated streak so long ago, it was because he would just spear and jackhammer. He wasn't out here trying to do things that other people didn't do. That's what Gigi Dolan needs to do. She needs to get back to what makes her great instead of trying to beat other people at their own games.
Lamb, who's a friend of the show and supporter of Jack Farmer only, says Gigi should attack her in the parking lot, the most dangerous area in WWE NXT, no matter the venue. See, I was with you, Lamb, but it got explained in canon that Blair Davenport is the one who beats up people in the parking lot. So that'd be kind of like her home court, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're not going to beat Blair Davenport in the parking lot. In fact, I mean, I don't know how far we want to go into the news. I mean, I think one of the most impressive things about NXT this week is that Jade Cargill walked through the parking lot unaffected.
Well, one, it was daytime, but two, you're right. Maybe everyone's afraid.
Even the parking lot was like, we're not going to mess with Jade Cargill.
Well, let's talk about this. So there's two things that are at play here. Jade Cargill gets signed to WWE. She reports to the Performance Center. There's a lot of, according to my slang word of the day, a lot of brouhaha about where she's going to go.
Oh, good word.
I know, right? Classic. Shout out to JLG Media for giving me this calendar. But the other side, you have WWE had trademarked Jada Parker as a name, which tells me a whole on reset reboot. So, I mean, I wasn't going to do a general manager picking this week, but let's talk about this. If you had Jade Cargill on your roster, would you keep her as the same as you would, or would you try a chance to show a whole new side of her as you work way up on the main roster?
I mean, I would go with what's working. Jade Cargill, that's the one. Jade Cargill is the person who has ESPN reporting on her. Jade Cargill is the one who has Triple H tweeting out that he's excited that she's there. Jade Cargill is the one that's getting interviewed by media outlets. We don't need to reinvent anything here. She is a superstar. Let her be a superstar. Jade Cargill is the finished package. Just let Jade Cargill do what brought her this far along. Don't mess with a winning formula. I mean, you don't want to. Yeah, you don't go to In-N-Out and say, "Hey, have you tried doing something different with the sauce?" No, you just let them keep doing what they're doing.
Hey, Cain Velasquez wrestled with the mask in AAA, but he was himself in WWE, and that lasted literally one match. So I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, and has he faced anyone as big as Brock Lesnar under the mask?
No. Lamb has a point to save me out of this argument. Says, I would keep her as Jade Cargill because it made the news worldwide. That's why I keep her name in this case and let her run whatever roster she gets. I just wonder how that works legally, because if you're WWE and you're giving her the Rocket, I mean, it's like Disney. No offense to compare the two. Like, the WWE Rocket is very unique to them. I would think they would want to be able to own that as much as they can. But you're right. Jade Cargill is now a brand, so it's kind of hard to say. But
it's with the name thing, and this is pure speculation on my part. I know nothing more than anyone else does. But as WWE signs more athletes, more college athletes, more people with name value, I would assume we see less WWE branded names as we go forward for a lot of people. Well, I mean, we'll still see them, but I think you'll see the exception made more often going forward, like a Gable Steveson.
Oh, you're making those awkward late 90s like Taz with an extra Z or Rhino with a Y, right?
I mean, you'll get some of those, but I think the Jade Cargills, the Gable Stevensons, I think we're just going to see more people who keep their name. The Cody Rhodes, I mean, you think about some of the more recent big signings have all kept their names.
Good point. Nah, good point. Speaking of people who didn't keep their names, we had ourselves a strap match player as Dijak. Well, I would want to say lost against Eddie Thorpe to finally get some retribution in front of Eddie Thorpe's family. But Dijak gets the last laugh again, much like Gigi Dolan. I like Eddie Thorpe, but it always seems he's getting his butt kicked week in and week out. Walk me through the match and the aftermath.
So this was both a good day and a tough day for Eddie Thorpe. Eddie Thorpe really needed to win this match. He really needed to win this match. And I'm not just saying that because he needs to get momentum or he needs to make a statement or he needs wins for the typical sports reason. Eddie Thorpe needed to win this match because someone came and they messed with his culture, his heritage, where he's from. And if Dijak beat him, if Dijak put him down and pinned him, then Eddie Thorpe would have had to deal with this for the rest of his career. Everywhere he went for the rest of his life, people would be coming after him, after his heritage. They'd be trying to make things personal. This would have been a very, very bad thing if Dijak was able to disrespect Eddie Thorpe the way he did and walk away with the win. That said, Flobo.
That said.
Sometimes life just ain't fair. Sometimes that's just how it is.
Reach on, brother.
Eddie Thorpe did everything he was supposed to do, did everything he needed to do. But guess what? Sometimes the bad guys still get their way. And that was a lesson Eddie Thorpe learned today.
I do too, Pop Princess. I like Eddie as well. And then we talk about the NXT roster. If I had to put like a poster or the production truck or little like image they put on when you try to select the show on your favorite streaming device, I'll put Eddie Thorpe there. I think visually he's very striking. You know exactly what he is and what he's about. But it's really kind of hard to root for a person that just gets beat up so resoundingly. It's like he gets rolled up. It is like he loses and gets his retribution back. It's like, man, you win one match, NXT Underground, all Raw Underground, if you want to be a purist. But then ever since then, it just seems to be all downhill. But at the same time, Dijak is somebody you're like, you should be punching way above your weight class. You should be the guy dominating guys like Eddie Thorpe. So two things are true. Two things are happening at once, but it makes me feel all icky inside.
I'm restarting real quick. My screen froze.
That's all right. All right. Fine, you don't need Jack Farmer anyway. But the one thing I want to say about this rivalry between Dijak and Eddie Thorpe is that I'm kind of hoping it's over. I understand these guys have a blood feud. We saw how that tree was damaged, and hopefully, even though he got beat down after the match, there's going to be some retribution on the side of Eddie Thorpe. Just because he can move on and do something else. Dijak is main roster bound. He should be now. I think this window is closing. And so, and that's the case. It has to be now. Because the last thing you want to do is move someone up to the main roster when it's way too late.
Hey, there we go.
Oh, Lamb says, Jack, after that, should Dijak move into the NXT title picture?
After losing? After
the Eddie Thorpe situation. Whether he wins it or loses it. I mean, he's still a beefy man. And he still can hurt and do damage. He had a title opportunity before, didn't get it against Carmelo, but should he move back to the NXT title picture?
You got to win if you want to be in the NXT title picture. You can't. He just lost. So, no, I don't see any NXT title picture. I like Dijak. I like what he stands for. I like how vicious he is. I like the size he brings. But you got to get wins to be in the title picture.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. What did I miss? What is that on the shelf with the NXT title aspire? Oh! So, 2 weeks ago, I was in Japan, and I got to see my favorite Japanese baseball team, the Tokyo Yakult Swallows. And one of their things are when they score a run, they open up umbrellas, and they kind of like do the whole shafting up and down of the umbrella, and it has this weird like bubble vibe because all of the umbrellas are translucent. So that is the mascot of the swallow itself, Subakuru. And so I had to get one because I was there, and as Jack Farmer says, I'm easily a prisoner of the moment.
Do I say that? I'm definitely a prisoner.
Impulse purchases. Remember when I was at WrestleMania? I was like, oh man, AJ Style gloves. I wore them like twice. I was like, wow.
I am so that way. I buy the dumbest stuff because I'm like, I'm here.
Right. Like, this is my souvenir.
I'm that guy that comes back from Hawaii with a ukulele.
Oh, you're that guy?
I'm like, oh man, ukulele. I'm going to learn to play this. It's going to be great.
Never happens.
No.
And my closet's full of hobbies. Speaking of hobbies, we saw a little quick vignette of a certain individual watching some football in WCW in the dark. Now, rumors have been swirling. Not really. It's only one rumor. That Brian Pillman Jr. may be making his way to NXT. Thoughts about that? Thoughts about Brian Pillman Jr. if it is him going into the NXT fold?
I'm a big fan of Brian Pillman Jr. So. I'm excited that he's getting this opportunity. I loved what he was doing elsewhere. And I think that this could be a huge signing for WWE. It's something that, when I say huge, I don't mean, especially as we have that Jade Cargill showing up and we're talking about Cody Rhodes earlier. I don't think he's someone who's going to show up and like change the foundation of what WWE is. But I do think that he comes from the industry. He's someone who has family in the industry, who has had explosive family in the industry. So you're gonna be able to pull a lot of past and history from him. But I also think it's just in his blood. I think he looks a certain way that stands out. I think he could be fun. And I think that he's someone who will be very exciting for a lot of folks on NXT.
Yeah, legacy talent always seems to have, I don't say an easier path, but definitely back to the whole machine thing of really building you up on that level to get people to care about them. So I hope the best for Brian Pillman Jr. I'll have to see what this presentation is going to be moving forward. All right, let's talk about the tag team division, Playa, because we had a sit down of all sit downs. Tony D, Zach Alonzo decided to have a little bit of a conversation over wine, inviting Umberto and Angel Garza. I'm not sure what their names are going to be. The Creed Bros and the eventual winners of the tag team match, OTM, for a little bit of a talk about this Saturday. Now, the NXT Tag Team Championships, for its short history, has had a lot of dope champions holding them. Not saying Tony D and Stacks aren't, but this could be the start of their own legacy. Was it really the right decision to open up a four-way dance so early in their run?
I get what the family is doing right now. I totally understand it, and I think it's very clever. I love fights. I love competition. But what the family's doing is right. You'll notice, why defend the titles week in and week out when you could have parties with the Creeds or dinner with the tag team division? They're keeping this title ring going nice and long. And now, instead of going through the division one by one by one and risking losing the titles week in and week out, let's just do it all at the same time. That means they're only risking the titles once. They're going through the division as a whole completely, and then they get to hold the titles for a longer time and make that championship money. I think it's a brilliant thing the family's doing. And talk about a power play. You want to talk about who looked like they were in control of this thing when everything ended. It was the family. All these tag teams, they were getting ready to throw down in that restaurant, but the family said, nope, we are in control. Grab your drink and enjoy yourself, whether you like it or not. And I think that sent a message subconsciously to the whole tag team division.
Part of my Steiner math here, but if you face everyone individually, you have a 50% chance of winning. But in a fatal four-way, that goes drastically down, right? You have a 25% at best chance of winning. Why would you do that, Jack?
Well, one, I want you to think about the champion's advantage that goes into every match. But two, if I said flip a quarter four times in a row and it's got to land on heads every time, would you feel confident that you're going to get heads four times in a row? Because that's the 50-50 you're talking about. If they face all these guys individually, you face them all at once, you flip the coin once.
You are an evil man, because that does make sense in some way.
It's Steiner math. I went to Chase U and majored in Steiner math. So I know
that school isn't accredited because you went.
Because they accepted me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So here's the deal, though. Like, there's no champion's advantage. I mean, Bronco Neiman, Lucian Price, was arguably the one with the most momentum. We'll get to that in a second. Can really, like, destroy another team altogether. And they could be champions without even having Tony D involved.
That's the thing, is the family's smart. And you can see, again, by what they've done so far to get to where they're at. They know how to manipulate people, and they know how to manipulate situations. So we talk about Bronco and Lucian, who absolutely look like killers in that ring. You let them and the Creed brothers beat each other up for 10 minutes, and then you go pick the pieces. Yeah. That's what this is going to look like. That's what's going to happen here. Instead of having to face Bronco and Lucian on your own, instead of having to face the Creed brothers on your own, or Angel and Garza on their own, let them kill each other and then go take the territory yourself. This is like gang warfare 101. This is brilliant. They're going to have all their enemies pick each other apart so that they can come in at full strength and rule everything. The family's done this a million times over the generations that they've been in business, and they're going to do it again.
Serious question. What kind of milk do you think the Creed brothers ordered? 1%?
Do you think that I don't answer these questions seriously?
I think it's kind of a joke to you, yes.
I would say that they're drinking whole milk. They're whole milk kids, I think.
Oh, wow, the classic. Okay, they're my favorites to win now.
Yeah.
Whole milk has been erased, and that needs to change. Give me all the calories.
They want all the milk.
All the milk. Let's talk about why OTM got invited to the dance. They had a match against Hank and Tank, which I'm not sure if they're officially dropping the last names of Hank Walker and Tank Ledger, but that's the name of the tag team. A lot of beef in the ring. I do feel that Lucian Price stood out, in my opinion, of how Bronco Neiman can be the heavy here. But again, much like the whole Danny Palmer situation, Hank and Tank have never won a match. So I would say OTM, out the mud, has the momentum, but the difficulty of the opponent has been kind of
I've said for weeks, I want to see these guys get wins. I want to see them get dubs. And that's exactly what they did today or at this event. They got a win. They looked dominant. They looked great. I mean, it made it so Hank and Tank weren't even invited to the dinner. I think that says a lot about what they did there. I think they're going to be a problem for this division. I think they're going to be very, very big problems for a lot of people. They seem dominant. They seem fast. They seem hard hitting. And they seem like they liked conflict. And I think that that's always going to create difficulties for a division when you have someone like that in it. And if I'm Tony D and Stax, I am hoping that they do not do well at No Mercy.
You're a tag team purist. Does it bother you that a non-cobbled together tag team doesn't dress alike?
Not necessarily. I think it depends. Everyone's different, you know. In this case, it doesn't bother me.
Okay, when does it bother you?
I think it bothers me when it's hard to say. Just certain times it does, certain times it doesn't. I think it depends on the characters involved.
Inconsistency. Thy name is Jack Farmer. I knew it.
Don't get poetic on me.
This is the winter of discontent. Okay, moving on. Baron Corbin, who has had a night in himself, to be honest with you, in his Bam Bam Bigelow sleeve, took on Josh Briggs and basically proved to everyone, if there's a bully in the locker room, don't speak up for yourself. Dominating win. It was after the match that makes me go, Braun Breaker just can't stand Baron Corbin. This could be a kind of a co-main event come Saturday, huh?
This has been great, and I think that everyone in NXT should really be giving Baron Corbin a round of applause for what he's been able to do as their locker room leader. Quick shout out to Briggs. I think that he did a good job, and I think that he really did well for himself, but he learned the first rule of combat, and that is always defend yourself. You see how quickly Baron Corbin turned things around when Briggs lowered his guard for just a second, was able to get the win off of that.
Gotta guard your testicles and your temples, my friend.
Yeah. That's true.
I was lying to you? No, Flobo. It's true.
Your testicles are just fine.
Don't worry about it.
I mean, Baron Corbin has been such a great locker room leader. And he's been – what? Look, what is a leader? A leader is someone who can see what a group can be and then helps them get there. And what Baron Corbin has been saying since he got there is that the NXT locker room is soft, but they can get tough. They can become aggressive. They can be the kind of wrestlers that can make it at the top of the WWE. And since he's been there, what's happened? Josh Briggs has gotten tougher. And now even Braun Breaker's coming out, swinging, wanting to fight, getting physical. He is making this roster tougher. He's making them stronger. He's making them harder. Baron Corbin is a great leader in that locker room. And I think at some point, you just can't deny it anymore.
You know, you mentioned Josh Briggs, and I thought that was kind of, I think his last two appearances are single matches. I think one was on Level Up, that he does seem like he's improving a lot as a singles competitor. Would you want to see him in a singles run? Or do you think the Brooks Jensen, Fallon Henley faction is something that can still work for everyone right now?
I think it can still work, but if I'm Briggs, I think that the light at the end of the tunnel is a bit closer on the singles side. And that has nothing to do with Jensen. It's more that, as we saw with that dinner with the family, stacked tag team division right now. It is going to be a very tough road to get to the top of that division. And the top of that division is looking very tough. Any one of the four teams at that dinner is going to be a very tough team to get past. And that's four of them. Where when you look at the singles divisions, as we talked about with the North American title, Trick Williams in one night put himself in a position to become the champion. So when I look at something like that, I say Josh Briggs, light at the end of the tunnel in the singles division seems a little bit closer than in the tag team division.
Well, I say that because you have someone like Braun Breaker that even though there's going to be a bit of a grudge match, understatement, against Baron Corbin this week, is seeming someone who has really nowhere to go. He has to win against the locker room leader this weekend to really cement himself as a light at the end of the tunnel. Say so? You think so?
I think both these guys need to win, and that's what makes it such a great matchup and why, like you said, it could be a potential co-main event for No Mercy, because I think if Braun Breaker loses, then we start to ask ourselves the question, what is Braun Breaker in NXT anymore? What is he doing? He was someone who was the absolute face of the brand, where if he loses, he may find himself struggling to stay relevant, where Baron Corbin for as much as he's done, hasn't actually gotten a lot of wins, hasn't actually gotten a lot of dubs. And if he's unable to get a win against Bron Breakker, then that leadership is going to be very questionable.
It is questionable. You're the only one who thinks he's a leader.
Do we follow the Undertaker of NXT, Baron Corbin, any longer if he can't beat Bron Breakker?
Everyone's questioned that, but you.
I don't think Josh Briggs is questioning it anymore.
Even though the four-way was a match of night in spades, my favorite match was the Global Heritage Cup Finals. With Metaphor in tow, dressing like the girls of the Kentucky Derby, it's Butch in name only against Joe Coffey. Love this for a bunch of reasons. Shout out to NXT UK. Joe Coffey looked like he was the man even in defeat, and it does feel like every day we get closer to Peter Dune. Jack Farmer, Noam Dar's watching this. One, match was a banger. Two, is he shaking his boots?
I tell you, I don't know why you keep using that other name, but after the crowd started chanting Butch Slap, I don't think that name's going anywhere.
Fair enough. Peter Butch Dunn.
but I will say that this match, I knew you would love it. I loved it as well. This definitely felt like old rivals.
I knew you would love it. Okay, you got me. You get me.
It's yeah, I know. This is old rivals just like picking up where they left off from their battles in the old country. You know what
I mean? That old man eating gelato at like a sidewalk cafe, the old country. It was like 2 years ago.
Man, it made me miss NXT UK so much again watching this, because this was a very NXT UK style match, just hard hitting slugfest, beating each other up. I would have liked to see either of these guys win. I would have liked to see either of these guys move on to face Noam Dar. But something about Butch getting the win was really cool, because I think that in a lot of ways, those two having a match, Butch versus Noam Dar for the Heritage Championship, feels a little bit like the NXT UK Alpha versus the NXT UK Omega. You know, the guy who was there at the top when it started against the guy who was there at the top when it finished. I think that this is going to be a very cool matchup. And I think I can't wait to see what Metaphor wears to No Mercy.
Actually, I'm with you on that one, because they're running in that costume budget pretty handedly. Thoughts about the Global Invitational Tournament as a whole? This is the second time we've seen the Pot A, Pot B thing. We start with the Cruiserweight division during the pandemic when Jordan Dublin was stuck in the UK. But thoughts about that as a tournament, even the matches themselves didn't adhere to Heritage Cup rules?
I would have loved if they adhered to the Heritage Cup rules. I think that would have made it a lot more interesting as far as what we're going to get on Sunday, but
Saturday,
but it is what it is. I like these tournaments. I love these brackets. I like it when other companies have done it. I like it WWE doing it. I'm a big fan of this kind of stuff, because then you get a lot of matches between a lot of people that all have stakes. They all have value. It's not just a hypothetical, what will this win mean? It's this win means 2 points. This win is very important. And so I love these kind of things. And if they made this a yearly thing, I would love it.
Yeah, absolutely. It just, again, the biggest shock for me is that Charlie Dempsey scored 0 points throughout the whole thing. Way let the whole country down, Charlie.
I will say, I think that if these were Heritage Cup rules, Charlie Dempsey would have won the whole thing. I think there's a huge difference.
Fair enough. Well, let's get into it. This Saturday is No Mercy, and Jack Farmer is going to give us his predictions of who's going to walk out on top, because I'm not doing that. I'm not betting the farm on things. Jack Farmer, you ready, baby?
I hope so.
Oh, man. The NXT Tag Team Division has been a fun ride, but now it's time for the family to really put up or shut up. It's a four-way dance for the titles. It's Tony D, Stax, OTM, Humberto, and Angel, and the Creeds. Who you got?
I'm going with the family. When you're playing a chess game, the best thing and the best position you can be in is when your opponent thinks that they've already won and becomes aggressive. And I think all three other teams already think they've won. They're already getting too aggressive. And I think that this is where the family completes the sweep and beats all of them. I'm going Tony D and Stax.
Well, you talk about having your fate in your own hands. Trick Williams went to Shawn Michaels' office and now has his first ever title opportunity. North American Championship against Dirty Dominic Mysterio, but Dragon Lee is a referee. Who do you got?
This is one of the toughest to call, because Trick Williams seems unstoppable right now. I said it earlier. He has like a magic to him. He's someone that just feels like things go his way. Luck is on his side. Fate and destiny are behind him. But the last time Dom was in a match where there was a referee that had some personal issues, he won. He won that match. So I kind of think that this might be a good opportunity for Dom. But you know what? I've learned over the past that when someone has magic behind them, when someone just has that something about them that makes them seem to get everything that they need, you go with it. And so I'm going to stick with Trick, and I think Trick is going to win the North American Championship.
Wow. Wow. Here to hear for us here from Jack Farmer. But elsewhere, Noam Dar has been hanging out on top of the CWC like a king. But Peter Dunne, a.k.a. Butch, has a chance to dethrone it. This is Heritage Cup rules. It's for the Heritage Cup Championship. It's Butch against Noam Dar. Who do you got?
Butch was one of the greatest NXT UK champions of all time. He was someone that has been able to beat up even the biggest names on the main roster. But no one is better at Heritage Cup rules than Noam Dar. And that's going to be the difference. It doesn't matter where Butch has been, who Butch has beat. Noam Dar is the master of the Heritage Cup, and he's going to retain at No Mercy.
You can't discount the metaphor factor as well. But we also have the man coming around to the bright lights of Bakersfield in a match against the center of the universe, Tiffany Stratton. Can Tiffany get her championship back, or the man ride out with the gold?
I have a feeling that Tiffany Stratton has been stewing over her loss for a long time now. I have a feeling that she has been doing nothing but training and getting ready for this match. And Flobo, when you do that, I think sometimes you curse yourself.
Go on.
Sometimes you overthink it. I think sometimes you get in your own head. I think Becky Lynch seems more relaxed. She seems more confident. She seems more cool-headed. I think she's going to go into this match more loose. And I think that Tiffany Stratton will have over game planned and will make a mistake, and it will cause her to fail. I think Becky Lynch gets the win.
Whew, she better. She wants to be the man. She better. And finally, this one here is for all the marbles. We're tired of talking contract signings and jaw-jacking. It's Ilya Dragunov, the Mad Dragon, against him, Carmelo Hayes, for the NXT Championship. Jack Farmer, who do you got?
I've said before, I'll say it again. I watched Tom Brady his whole career, and I always look back and say, if I just bet on Tom Brady every single time, I would have made a lot of money. And I see that same kind of star power, unbeatable aspect in Tom Brady that I now see in Carmelo Hayes. So I'm just going to say it again. I'm betting on Carmelo Hayes. He's going to get the win.
Wow. I would love to see Carmelo get this win. Just to get that whole shaky confidence thing in the rear view mirror, but not at the expense of friendship, man. Please, Trick, please don't turn on him. But yes, that said, this Saturday, No Mercy Premium Live event available on that Peacock app if you have it, or, you know, you can go to different places around bars and like movie theaters and all that jazz. Jack, you're going to go up to Bakersfield, and I am too. It's going to be a good time. You're going to be there live. You're going to be at the Mechanic Bank Arena. Come on. That just sounds clunky. Jeez. Come on, say hi. It's
Bakersfield. Come on. And
the Mechanics Bank Arena. Come on, say hi.
Like, the bright lights of Bakersfield, the Mechanics Bank. Come on. Like, that's the best you got?
I'm just reading what it says, man. I'm sorry.
You can't give it a cool, like, it's, to be fair, Mechanics Bank sounds like the biggest place in Bakersfield.
So. It does. You're going to get banned. You're going to turn us around when we get there.
I will say, though, you don't bury the lead. We're press, baby.
That's right. Draped in Gold is going to be press out there covering the event because we're so much the journalists we thought would be when we signed up for Chase U degrees.
They have no idea what they approved when they said that we're allowed to go. So, yeah, we're going to be press. We're going to get to be, I believe we're asking some questions after the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Get the hobnob with the top roster and talent. I can't wait for that.
So, yeah, you guys should, by the way, hit us up on social media. Let us know if there's any questions you want us to ask of the talent while we're pressing it up. But, yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be press. We're not just going as random yahoos. We're going there with people who have little, what do they call those things on the little pass things on the necklace that you wear?
A press pass. What the pass things the press have?
No, they call it like just
credentials.
The credential. No, it's like a lanyard.
A lanyard.
A lanyard. Yeah. We'll have lanyards. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. Yes, lanyard. That's the word I'm trying to say. We'll have lanyard.
Chase U graduate right here.
You know, if they taught me what that means, what that word is, and Chase U, maybe I wouldn't be stuttering here.
Oh my goodness!
I should have listened to my mom and gone to Phoenix University of Phoenix.
Yeah, mom never is wrong. Real quick, before we get out of here, MVP of NXT. Who's looking out for you this week?
I mean, it's Trick. Like, is there even an argument here?
I actually have it's Trick Williams, but I'm giving it to Butch because he's so close to being Peter Dune. But you're right. It's a Trick Williams show. It really was. If you didn't like Trick Williams, you would have hated this episode because he was everywhere.
I was going to say, if you didn't like Trick Williams when this episode started, you loved him when it ended. It was a great showing by him.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the arc you kind of wish you had if you were putting yourself in the show, if you're playing the game. Like, that's kind of cool. You get to say, oh, my own opportunity. You went and you got it. And then your friends are like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, it's a 2K story. That's perfect.
Yeah, I'm with you. But that wraps up Draped in Gold this week. We'll be back next week to break down everything that happened in Kern County, California. Jack, if someone wants to connect with you, book you for an event or more, how do they go about doing that?
You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. As mentioned, be in Burbank this Saturday. So if you're in town, come see us and say hello, get a photo. It's always fun to chat with people in real life when we go to these shows. Also on October 7th, if you're in the LA area, I'll be ring announcing for PCW Ultra before the big Wazoo versus UCLA football game at the Rose Bowl. It's going to be awesome.
I like PCW. You have good branding. In the meantime, I'm over there on that X and Blue Sky at Flowable Boys, but drapedingold.com is we want to hit up to learn more about the show. But until next time, my guy, please say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.